It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, alongside Matt, Rory, Jared Scally behind the glass this evening, following a Celtics victory at home, which is something we have not been able to say in recent weeks. The Celtics snapping a recent three-game home losing streak, the final score over the Sacramento Kings, 97-92. And look, guys, not a game that was perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I've got some specific thoughts regarding Brad Stevens' expectations, DeMarcus Cousins. We'll get into all of that on the program this evening. And, of course, your phone calls at 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. 215-7771. That is your Movement Watches toll-free phone lines to join the program this Friday evening. Look, it's a Friday night. The Celtics won. We could spin this positively or negatively, but the fact is, Matt Rory, the Celtics have had a hard time beating mediocre teams this season. They came out with a victory tonight, thanks in part to a late-game push, but still, a game that shouldn't have been as tight as it was, in my opinion.
I'm with you on that, Patrick. I will spin this in both ways tonight as well, but I'm going to start off spinning it in a little bit of a negative way, I guess. I'm a little disappointed in the way this game ended up after the way it started, because the Celtics team, these guys came out on fire. They looked cohesive. The first unit looked excellent. And then the bench came in, and it's like you just popped the balloon, and all the air was let out. And the crowd was not into it, and they stopped moving the ball, and they weren't playing defense very well. They just didn't look cohesive. So it took the starters to come back in and really claw and fight, because Sacramento, who has some talent, got into a little bit of a groove when the bench was in there. And when they got that momentum back, it was tough for the Celtics to pull away again. So they kind of squeaked away with a victory here, but after the start that they had, it's definitely a little disappointing that the bench couldn't carry on what the starters had done in that first quarter.
Well, you know, Matt, for people that listen to the show and our November statistics came out, and we've got quite a few listeners this year, and that's exciting. But for people that listen, I wonder if they get tired of this same conversation, because win or lose, I feel like, I don't know, 80% of the shows that we've done both on CLNS and ESPN New Hampshire, that same tone and tenor that you just brought to the program is what we've all expressed, right? The starting lineup comes out, builds a lead, second unit comes in, and they're unable to hold the lead. So the question I have now for you, Matt, is we're into December. It's post-Thanksgiving. The Celtics are healthy and have been for about 10 days now. At what point do we stop blaming this on the fact that they had four impact players hurt to start the season? The fact that, you know, Evan Turner and Jared Sellinger are gone, and this is a new team. At what point do we hone in and say, this team needs a serious addition from Danny Ainge in order to be the team that we all thought they could be?
Well, an addition is going to be tough at this point, I think. He's kind of got his hands tied, and I think you kind of have to work with what you've got. But the good news is that there are some good young players on this team, and Kelly Olynyk is one of those players who has not rounded into shape. He's been very inconsistent, but he had a good game the other night, even though I thought that he still looked slow on the court the other night. I don't think he's 100%. He's definitely not back into game shape, but the point I'm trying to make here is that Brad Stevens, obviously, and this is something I've talked about for three years running, it takes him a while to figure out his rotations, especially with the players that are all very similar, the Jarebkos, the Olynyks, I guess you could throw Marcus Smart in there at times, because he was inconsistent tonight. He was terrible tonight, basically. And I don't know what his problem was, but Brad Stevens needs to figure out his rotation, and it usually takes him till Christmas before it looks like he has a solid rotation going of players. And this is something that people have said for the last few years now. You can't consistently play 11 guys in the NBA and expect to have a consistent team and win a lot of games, because it just, you throw a couple guys out there for a couple minutes and it just disrupts things at times, unless they're all playing really well, which is pretty rare.
You guys are all listening to the Celtics post game show right here, CLNS Radio, CLNSRadio.com. Of course, tonight's show is brought to you by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Did you guys all know that cooking together builds strong families? My wife, my daughter, my son, we all do it together when that Blue Apron box comes in. It's become an event in my household. It's pretty awesome to do together. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often, which is great for your health. As a traveling sales guy, I'm fat because I eat out all the time. I welcome that Blue Apron experience, putting some healthy food in my body. Now, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals in perfect time for the holiday season. Check out this week's menu and get your three free meals today with free shipping. All you have to do is head on over to blueapron.com/CLNS, and you guys will love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create some incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Again, it's blueapron.com/CLNS, Blue Apron, a better way to cook. It is the Celtics post-game show. Our movement watches, toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Patrick Gilroy alongside Matt Rory, Jared Scaly behind the glass, following a Celtics 97-92 victory at the TD Garden over the Kings. You know, something that I really want to get into during tonight's program, because I haven't had a chance to look at everybody else's schedule, but I took a look at the Celtics schedule for December, and I couldn't believe my eyes. Guys, they have 15 games in 30 days. That's a game
crazy.
Every other day. Is this just me, or does this seem a little bit off this year?
Well, another thing that I noticed, being a season ticket holder as well as a guy that does these post-game shows, you know, every Friday night from, like, December 11th through February 2nd or something like that, the Celtics have a game at home. And it's like, that is something extremely rare. And I think they have something like 22 back-to-backs throughout the season, and there's definitely a handful of them in December. So this schedule, for whatever reason, is not shaking out to be very kind to the Celtics in the 2016 portion of this season. And it's not just the amount of games, Patrick. It's some of the teams that they're going to run into coming up here in the next few weeks, because regardless of what Oklahoma City's doing, they have Russell Westbrook, and you're going to see that team twice coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And that is a team that's formidable. You're going to see Houston, who has James Harden, and these are two guys that are superstar scorers. And to me, I don't know if the Celtics are going to be able to keep up offensively with them, but I am interested to see if their young guards, Bradley and Smart, can stick to these guys and hold them down, because they're two superstar NBA talents that you're going to see against the Celtics coming up here in December.
Well, Matt, in my opinion, that's why losing a game like they lost the other night to Detroit, you know, winning tonight's game was so big. A win tomorrow in Philadelphia is big. It's not rocket science to say that, you know, for this Celtics team to be that 50-win team, that 55-win team that makes some noise in the playoffs that we all hope they could be, they first got to beat the teams that they should beat. And yeah, Detroit's a pretty good team, but they don't have that James Harden like you talk about. They don't have that elite superstar that's going to go out there and single-handedly win you a basketball game. So yes, on paper, the Celtics are probably better than OKC. And on paper, they are probably better than the Houston Rockets. But you're absolutely right. This is the NBA. And in both of those cases, the opposing team has got the better player. And that gives you a pretty damn good shot to win a game in the NBA.
Yeah, and one of those OKC games is the second night of a back-to-back after they play in Indiana against a tough team in the Eastern Conference that you're going to have to battle for playoff seeding going forward with another superstar in Paul George. And then the following week, they have a back-to-back Cleveland and Miami. So it doesn't get any easier for the Celtics in December. Playing on Christmas, people might have thought that was a nice thing that the Celtics are playing on Christmas again. But you know what? I'd rather than just not play on Christmas and have a few days in between playing Oklahoma City and Memphis at home, where they can maybe sneak a couple wins out of those two Western Conference teams, because The schedule, if you looked at it at the beginning of the season in December, it didn't look too horrible. You see Sacramento, Philadelphia, you see Orlando on there, and Miami a couple times. You're thinking, oh, this is not too bad. The Knicks on Christmas, that looks like fun. But there are some sneaky, difficult games in the month of December here for the Celtics. And if they don't find the cohesiveness that we started off this show saying they don't have yet throughout the bench, then they're going to go into Christmas and they're still going to be a 500 or just above 500 team, and people aren't going to be happy with that.
You know, and that's exactly what they were last year, by the way. You're right. You started the show saying it takes a Brad Stevens team a couple of months to get going, to get rolling for him to find his rotations. And you're right. 2 years ago when they won 40 games, the bulk of those wins came in the second half of the season. And even last year, the Celtics finished their final 21 games at home going 18-3. They became dominant in February, March, and April at the Garden. For this year's team, though, it's as simple as looking at the box score from this evening, because this highlights exactly what is lacking on this Celtics team. Jay Crowder, 16 points. Amir Johnson, 8 points. Al Horford, 26 points. Bradley, 15 points. And Isaiah Thomas, 20 points. That's great. That's your starting lineup. Then take a look. 0, 3, 0, 2, 2, and 5. That's not acceptable. You need somebody, if not two guys, to come off the bench and give your starters the ability to get a blow around the quarters, like they try to do with Isaiah Thomas. You want to feel confident going to that bench that, yes, if the starters built you a 13-point lead, okay, the opponent wills it down to 9 or 10, but you held your own. This Celtics bench, for whatever reason, Matt, this year, they're not only unable to sustain what the starters have done against the opposing team's second unit, they're unable to even keep the Celtics afloat in a game. And then the starters are forced to come in and play harder than they should have had to play to get back to where they were when they went to their bench to begin with. And it's an evil cycle on the court, and it's an evil cycle off the court when it comes to that schedule we just talked about. I've been wrapping my head around why the Celtics have been somewhat disappointing this season and trying to find an answer without looking for the obvious answer that's right in front of you. And I think
there isn't one.
It's a combination. There is absolutely no fluidity to this team.
No, there isn't one sole answer. And tonight my rant is going to be on Marcus Smart. Where was he tonight? I mean, you could pick a different guy every night, Patrick, and that's I think what your point is that it's they need more consistency, and the starting lineup is showing it. So people suggest that they may want to shake up the starting lineup and put Amir Johnson on the bench and get a little bit of a spark from him, and maybe shove Olynyk into the starting lineup and whatever. And I don't think that matters, because frankly, Johnson is the worst player in the starting lineup. He gives the least to the Celtics starting lineup. It's the other four guys that are really driving the scoring in that first unit. So they need to find some more consistency from the bench players who are supposed to be their scorers. Marcus Smart is the guy. Where was he tonight?
I need to bring Jared into the conversation now, because he is my Marcus Smart guy. Again, Jared,
of course
you know, Marcus goes out there. He makes winning plays, and there's no doubt about that. He brings a lot of intangibles to the game. He always seems to be in there at the right time, close games, fourth quarter, whether it's a big shot, a big rebound. We've all seen it for a few years now. He's got a knack for that moment, okay? I will give him that. But again, Matt's absolutely right. This is the number 6 pick in the draft. He's no longer a rookie. He's been around for a few years. There's absolutely no excuse for him to go out there and in 23 minutes give his team 3 points and be in minus 17. And it'd be one thing if this game was the aberration. But I'm telling you, Jared, the games where he scores you 12, 15, 18 points, those are the aberration. These games are the norm.
I'm not asking him to score 15 points a game. I like him, and I like him for what he brings to this team. Now, I saw something. I think it was – let me look. I have the tweet up in front of me. It was Brian Robb. Who just said, keep an eye on it. Rozier's been getting some crunch time over Marcus Smart late in game.
Good.
And it's true, yeah, because Rozier's been hustling. Rozier has been playing very well, and I agree. I don't know why Rozier wouldn't get more minutes. But at the same time, I understand why Marcus Smart's being stuck with, because he has a knack for the fourth quarter.
So, Jared, I don't know if you even liked his game tonight at all, but my thought about him tonight was that he wasn't the biggest tough guy on the court tonight, and he realized that early on, because guess what? I hate to say it, Matt Barnes was the toughest guy on the court in my mind tonight. He grabbed 16 boards, and he scored 12 points, which was mostly came from the free throw line. And Matt Barnes, to me, is one of the biggest clowns in the NBA and always has been. But for whatever reason, DeMarcus Cousins kept his cool for the most part, and Matt Barnes was the one that got into Marcus Smart's head. And I think that for what I don't know how that affected him, but he only got 20 minutes. Brad Stevens didn't trust him enough to put him in there in crunch time. And I think that Barnes had something to do with it.
If you guys are just tuning in now, you'd think that the Celtics lost by the tenor and tone of the conversation. But in fact, the Celtics won tonight at home over the Sacramento Kings. Your final score, 97-92. It is the Celtics post-game show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Patrick Gilroy, Matt Rory, Jared Scally behind the glass taking your phone calls when we come back on the Movement Watchers toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771. It is CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. So it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the newsfeed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/CelticsBeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Welcome back. It is the Celtics Postgame Show. It is CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. I'm your host, Patrick Gilroy, Matt Rory alongside for this ride tonight. We've got Jared Scally behind the glass. We're taking your phone call on our Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. It is to those Movement Watches toll-free phone lines we will go. It is Hector in Providence. Hector, you are first up on the Celtics Postgame Show.
Hey, guys. Matt, long time no talk.
What's up, Hector, man? How's it going, dude? I just want to say quickly that I don't want to sound so cynical tonight. Of course, the Celtics had a great game tonight. So, buddy, I see from Twitter that you were at the game. How was it?
It was awesome, man. First off, this was my third game in this calendar year that I've gone. In the third year, the third time that I got to see Amanda Flugrad. And she could not have been any more awesome. So there's that. But to the game itself, as I'm walking in downtown Boston right now, it was, you know, it was Al Horford earned his money tonight. He had a great performance. He had a great game. Basically, you know, they were doing so well in the first half of the first quarter, only to, you know, lose the lead and everything. And it was a shaky game. It was a little bit of a back and forth, but, you know, we got the W. That's all that matters. To me, this game, what I really wanted to see was the opposition as well. I really wanted to see Boogie Cousins. I really wanted to see how he would play and everything. And, you know, anyone that knows me knows that I would love to see him in a Boston Celtics uniform. That's just me. I'm probably in the minority, but whatever, you know. But it was a great game overall. Definitely, this team is still an unfinished product. Let's put it that way. I think we can all agree with that. But it was a great win nonetheless, and we needed it, especially after what happened on Wednesday against the Pistons.
Hey, Hector, before you go, real quick, what do you make about that? You brought up Al Horford's name, okay? And Al Horford tonight goes for 26 points, 8 rebounds, 6 block shots. And it's the rebounds and block shots that really impressed me because, quite frankly, that's not his M.O. It's never been his M.O. to be a dominant rebounder, to be a guy that blocks 6 shots a night, right? That's not what he does. And he did it against a dominant front court player in DeMarcus Cousins. But then you go back just a couple of nights ago, and Andre Drummond completely shut Al Horford out of the game. And in my mind, if you could do this against the DeMarcus Cousins, you really should be able to do it against an Andre Drummond. So do we just chalk the other night up to a bad night for Horford? Or is this going to be sort of a trend as we go here? There are some front court players that Horford's going to be able to establish dominance against, and other guys where he's going to look just sort of like another guy out there.
Well, I think with any player, with any star player or whatever, you're gonna have rough nights or whatever. I would think that what happened Wednesday night is more of the team itself, the likes of Crowder and Isaiah Thomas, not giving Horford the ball and letting him do his thing. So for me, it's like if the Celtics want to go anywhere, especially in the playoffs, especially win a round, more than two games in the playoffs, obviously you want Horford to be as physical as ever. Now, maybe not dominant to the point of Boogie Cousins, but you know, it's up to the players themselves to help contribute to Horford and give him the ball when needed. Obviously, like I said, star players themselves are going to have rough nights, going up against the likes of an Andre Drummond or whoever, you know. But I mean, that's just the way, you know, ball is life. Put it that way. So
there it is. Ball is life. We appreciate the phone call, Hector. From what I've learned doing this show, I've only been doing this for, I don't know, 8 calendar months. I heard you're a bit of a living legend in this arena, so I hope to hear from you again real soon, Hector. Your third game this year. Call us after your fourth game. It is the Celtics post-game show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Patrick Gilroy, Matt Rury, and Matt, you chimed in real quick when we were talking DeMarcus Cousins versus Al Horford and what happened against the Pistons the other night. So tell me, what is your thought on this? Because to me, I can't make sense out of how Horford could be so dominant tonight, and especially dominant with the block shots and the rebounds. 8 rebounds, 6 block shots. That's a dominant front court performance to go alongside 26 points. But he was virtually invisible against the Pistons just 48 hours ago.
Yeah, and you know what? It's great to hear from Hector. He used to be a regular here, and we haven't heard from him in a while. So nice to hear him calling in after a good game tonight. But listen, Horford had a great game tonight against a guy that doesn't really give the effort that Andre Drummond does on the defensive end. And also, I feel like Horford got in his own head. I hate to even bring up people from other networks, but it was a national story. He let Mike Felger get in his head through the media when he was criticized about taking a night off for to go see his child. He should have just not even thought about any of that stuff, just done it, just gone, and then come back and had a decent game against Detroit. I think that's part of it, but I also think the more important issue is that Andre Drummond is just a beast on the defensive end. Detroit has been playing out of their minds in the past couple of weeks, and I think that Horford is a all-star type of player, but when you run up against a all-NBA number one type of defensive center like Andre Drummond is, he can get swallowed up. Whereas if you're going against a DeMarcus Cousins, who is trying to score as many points as he can and spends a lot of his time on the perimeter, you're going to be able to get rebounds. You're going to be able to get block shots if you can read the moves that he's doing. And if he gets even a little bit mentally challenged, Horford gets under his skin, then he's going to be off, and Horford's going to be able to have a better game against a guy like that. So I feel like it's more Drummond than it is Horford. Don't look at Horford here so much.
Well, you know what, though, Matt? This is very relevant right now because this is Boston, and we can't stop talking about trade rumors. We know that DeMarcus Cousins, 99%, will not finish this season as a Celtic for a multitude of reasons, but that's not going to stop the rumors. So let me ask you this. You just said that Drummond is an all-world NBA defender. He's probably a top three at his position defensively in the NBA, and he's an all-defensive team guy, either first or second team the last handful of years.
Absolutely.
Who would you rather have? Who helps the Celtics more tomorrow? If you had your choice, forget about what you have to give up in the package, because that's a whole other topic.
Well, I think that matters, though. If you're pairing him with Al Horford, then I'd rather have Drummond. I'll put it that way. Can I do that?
Well, you are pairing him with Horford because Horford's not going anywhere. So I'm saying if it's a matter of, Crowder, Bradley, and a pick, we're not going to get into the
Forget
season.
About the rest of it. Okay.
Exactly.
If you're pairing him with Al Horford as your 1 and 2, I honestly want Andre Drummond, because he is that defensive presence that the Celtics have lacked for so long. Al Horford can take care of the offensive stuff. They can find offense other places. Regardless of what the rest of the package would be, you would have to imagine that Ainge would try and keep some of his offensive firepower. So you can find offense in other places. You can't find a guy that is going to literally swallow up all-stars like you saw Drummond do to Horford the other night and just make them totally irrelevant in an NBA basketball game.
So
I think it's more important to the Celtics right now.
How can you – I know where you're going, and I understand where your head is at, but DeMarcus Cousins is a top 10 player in this league. He's a 24-12 guy, 26-12
yeah.
guy. He's probably the best offensive big man in the league today. He can do everything out there. At one point, he crossed up a couple of Celtics at the three-point line tonight. There's not many big men that can do that.
He's
so
an excellent offensive talent. He actually got four blocks tonight, so he put up the numbers on the defensive end.
Sure.
Pat, I just don't see the effort night in, night out. I feel like you have to have the perfect combination of other players around him in order to get him to produce the way he does. And
so,
I think that Sacramento is doing that. I think they've got a couple of guys that keep him sort of level-headed for whatever reason, but they still don't have the talent to win in the NBA.
So you think, and I want to be clear about this, in your opinion, if the Celtics were to have the ability to pick up Drummond over Cousins, you think they would be closer to a championship with the addition of Andre Drummond over DeMarcus Cousins?
I feel like the gap on defense that Drummond would fill is so much greater than what Cousins would give you over Al Horford. Yes, Cousins coming in would be your best player. I'm not going to deny that. He would be your best player. He would be your number one offensive threat. But I feel like the jump from Horford to Cousins in that regard is less than the jump from the Celtics' best defensive center to what Andre Drummond would be. So I would rather have them improve in another area and stay offensively where they currently are. And I feel like that's a better way to win a championship in the NBA is to have that one guy that can change the game defensively. And you saw it with Kevin Garnett here, and you've seen it around the league with other big men just in the playoffs, because it's a different game in the playoffs. So when you're talking about a guy like Andre Drummond, all-world defensive player, I would take him. And that's why I was entertaining the idea of Nerlens Noel coming here for the right package in the preseason, because I think he has potential to be that type of guy.
It's certainly an interesting topic of conversation. I want to bring this out to the Move and Watch's toll-free phone lines, get everybody else's take, because it's one of these – I don't think there's a perfect answer. On paper, DeMarcus Cousins is the perfect big man, but we know this game isn't played on paper. There's so much other stuff, white noise going on in the world of DeMarcus Cousins. And if you bring him to a city like Boston where, yes, you're going to finally have the ability for him to have a consistent coach, a consistent ownership group, a consistent general manager, a team that's competing for playoff positioning, to do big things in the playoffs, things that he's never experienced before. And you wonder,
yeah,
if you put him in that winning situation, does his head get screwed back on straight, or is it too far gone at this stage in his young career? It is the Celtics Post Game Show. The Move and Watch is toll-free. Phone line 347-215-7771. Let's get right back to those Movement Watchers toll-free phone lines. It is Phil. Phil, you are next on the Celtics Post Game Show. What's on your mind, Phil?
Okay, a whole bunch of things, but your conversation was kind of interesting. I really was impressed by Boogie. I've never really watched him for a whole game. I know that seems strange, but you know, you only see him twice a year as a Celtics fan anyway. But here's the thing I'd worry about. This is an extreme example going to a different sport. Boogie Cousins comes here and you get Carl Crawford. Because he seems like the kind of guy that, you know, the pressure could get in his head. On the other hand, wow, was he, you know, he could really do stuff with his body around the net.
Phil, it's funny that you used a cross-sport analogy, because I'm notorious for doing that around here. But I'm going to go a different direction here. I'm going to go Randy Moss and say that it's more of a Randy Moss situation where he would end up needing to get dealt away because he gets too big for the locker room. And that's the way that I would see that with Boogie Cousins. But this was one of the best games that he's played in Boston in a long time, as far as I can remember. I remember a few games in the past few years. He's getting technicals. He's getting ejected. He's getting in scuffles on the court. He's getting he lets the refs in his head, and it seems like this was one of his best games. But if you look at his shooting percentage, still pretty poor tonight. 10 for 26. It's not good. He scored 28 points, but That's he needs to be more efficient than that, if you ask me.
With you on that, though. I was surprised how nice his outside shot is. I mean, that's pretty good for a big man. Though Al Horford was looking pretty good, too, and, you know, was 10 for 18, which is a whole lot better. So my original inspiration for calling was to whine about the second unit is in the first half. Oh, I mean, they just looked so incredibly disjointed. I mean, the sum of the parts was less than the individual talents. You know, not even just the individual talent. I mean, it's just like it was painful.
Yeah, it was, and it has been for the majority of the season, with the exception of a few games where Kelly Olynyk broke out like he did against the Pistons. It was his second or third game where he's, you know, put up 19, 20, 22 points. Marcus Smart's had a few of those games. What's been troubling for me is I was looking through some previous box scores. It's hard to find a game, short of the Jaylen Brown game in Cleveland where he put up 19, it's hard to find a game where you have multiple bench guys giving you double-digit point production this season. Last year, that was a staple of this team last year. They would often have eight guys.
Pat,
that
oh, man.
10 points.
Patrick, who is the most consistent bench player for the Boston Celtics this year, in your opinion?
There isn't one.
I have one. I know who it is. It's so sad. It's Jonas Jerebko.
And he had 5 points tonight, and he led the bench.
And he had nine rebounds. He's the most consistent effort player off the Boston Celtics bench this season, and that, to me, is pathetic because you have guys like Marcus Smart, who's supposed to be the next best defender on the wing in the NBA, you know, the next big player out there. You have Jaylen Brown, the number three pick, who was supposed to be an effort guy and just be able to jump out of the gym. Kelly Olynyk is a guy who showed us things in the past, and he just is inconsistent this year. And Terry Rozier is another guy that the Celtics have lauded, and they've made him out to be the player that they are extremely happy to have kept in the offseason when looking at James Young and R.J. Hunter as the other options. Where is the consistency from all these young guys? Jerebko is the most consistent player off the bench, and to me, that's astonishing. I don't know how that can happen right now.
And Jonas Jerebko was a guy that couldn't earn minutes for a terrible Detroit Pistons team. What does that say about the Celtics? I'm a big Jonas guy. I think there's a role for him on a winning team. But you're right. He cannot be your most dependable sixth man, the guy that you depend on to come in and give you double-digit points and a big effort rebounding-wise night in and night out. That doesn't mean that you're – that means your team has got larger problems than we anticipated the Celtics having as they entered the season just 30 days ago. It is the Celtics postgame show. When we come back, I want to talk about Joel Embiid because the guy's been a beast in recent weeks, and the Celtics look like they're going to get a break because that beast cannot play on back-to-back games. It is the Celtics postgame show. Celtics winners tonight, 97-92 over the Sacramento Kings. We'll be right back.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtics Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. It is the Celtics post-game radio program, kind of. We are simulcast on ESPN Radio, New Hampshire, 1200, 1250, 900 AM, ESPN, NHRadio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy, it's Matt Rury, Jared Scally. Behind the glass, taking your phone calls on the Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771. And we all know department store watches start at $400-$500, but the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they're passing that savings directly on to you guys, the fans of the Boston Celtics. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable. They start at just $95. So what you need to do is head on over to movementwatches.com. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celtics Beat. That's going to get you 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's movementwatches.com/Celtics Beat. Get you 15% off and free shipping. That phone number again, 347-215-7771. Let's stay on these Movement Watches toll-free phone lines and go to Sam in San Diego. Sam, you're up next on
Talk
the
About Legends
show.
Hey, guys. So I'm with you on Drummond. Obviously, thanks.
Well, what's up, Sam?
Obviously love Drummond, but he's not going to be available. Cousins is the guy. I know a lot of people don't like him. I know we keep hearing about the chances of really small of him coming, but I really think he's the guy. I mean, there isn't exactly – we have to get the next superstar that's available. There's not a lot of time. There's not a lot of superstars that are coming available. This is the guy that would provide the biggest interior presence that we've had since Perkins was here in terms of attitude, in terms of toughness inside, which I'm tired of getting bullied around by the teams. And, you know, he's a perfect fit with Horford. This is the place where he can win. And if he wins, he's not going to be as upset as he gets in Sacramento. And I think the biggest thing is just that, I mean, I don't know. I think that we've got too many players. I think that we don't have any kind of direction right now. You put him in here, I think he's the ticket, and I don't see that it's going to take Bradley and Crowder. I don't think it's going to take a combination of players. I think it would take Jaylen Brown. I think it would take one or two of the Brooklyn picks and
really?
Salary filler. Yeah.
Wow, Sam, I don't know. That seems like a stretch to me, man. I feel like you have to put a player in there. I think that people around the league, just from my perception anyway, they'd see what Danny Ainge is doing. He's
but
not going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes anymore.
Guys, haven't we learned this lesson the hard way the last couple of years? I mean, look at the rumored deal for Jimmy Butler on draft night, for example. Look what Chicago was looking for Jimmy Butler. And I can make the argument, and I'm sure you can too, Sam, that DeMarcus Cousins is a better fit and a more impactful player than Jimmy Butler. So if Jimmy Butler was going to need the world to be traded for, what makes you think that DeMarcus Cousins is somebody that can be had for unproven talent and picks that we don't know where they're going to land yet?
Well, isn't Butler signed for a while, or is Cousins coming up pretty quick? I mean, that's one reason. I know these are just reports, but you hear that it'll be difficult for them to get a lot.
Sam, hold on. Do you agree that the Kings are better off this year than they have been in the past few years, especially with their new coach? Dave Yeager is a good coach.
Yeah, but they have nothing around Cousins that's going to take them to another level. I mean,
do you think that the money that he could get there, combined with them pitching the fact that they finally have a good coach and someone that he agrees with basketball philosophy-wise, and that they will find players to put around him, do you think that he would prefer to stay there? Because, I mean, the contract is going to be huge for him.
I mean, everything that I read is that he won't stay, that he's never won there, that they've never won there, that they're not going to attract free agents. I mean, I think that's the guy. I mean,
you bring up a great point, though. You do bring up a really good point when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins and his potential availability and what it will take to get him. I will say this. For that value to be dropped to a point where maybe a trade package like the one that you referenced could be something that would be entertained, it would take DeMarcus Cousins publicly demanding a trade, saying he's not going to sign an extension. It would take ownership publicly saying that they're actively shopping him. Neither one of those things have happened yet. But this year, you've heard it more and more behind the scenes, and those rumors have leaked out earlier than usual, that maybe that is the case. But it's going to take Cousins getting so frustrated that in some post-game press conference, he says, get me the hell out of here, and he forces Sacramento's hand, because inherently that lowers the value.
Yes, but think about Durant. Durant didn't do that. And, you know, Sacramento's coming up close. I think they have 1 year after this with him. I mean, I guess they could ride it one more year, but the value goes down. So, I mean, they have to think logically. If they're going to have to trade him in February if they're going to get value, right? I mean, I don't think teams want to go all the way to the end the way that Oklahoma City did, end up with nothing. They're more likely to lose him, I think, than not.
It's certainly interesting, and it's something that we'll all have to keep an eye on. OKC gambled, and they lost. And, you know, that's the worst-case scenario. And you're right. If they're going to trade him, they want to trade him for some value. I look at the Brooklyn pick, and right now I think Brooklyn has got the second-worst record in the league. But I think that, especially here in Boston, we know this better than anywhere else in the NBA. Look, Brooklyn could finish with the worst record in the NBA. There's no guarantee that it's going to be a number one pick. And I think we learned last year, and we learned the year before with Marcus Smart, number six, number three, they don't hold the type of value around the league that we all thought they did. And you know, everybody thought 2 years ago that if the Celtics wind up with a few top three picks, it would be easy to take those picks and flip them for proven talent. Well, it hasn't happened yet, and it hasn't happened for lack of effort on Danny Ainge's part. And whether it's for the reasons that you bring up, Matt, that Danny Ainge is sort of looked at differently around the league and nobody wants to be his next victim, or if it's just the reason that a number three pick is Jaylen Brown these days. And, you know, Jaylen's got he's shown some flashes, but he's a long-term project. He's not somebody that's going to come in and be an impactful player and turn around a bad team in 1 year. So when I look at Sacramento and what they're looking for in a potential return, I do think – that Sam is correct. I don't think guys like Avery Bradley and guys like Jay Crowder matter as much to a team like Sacramento as they would have, let's say, last year to Cleveland for Kevin Love. Because those guys are ready to win right now. They're established veterans. They fill a void, and they're solidified in their NBA place, right? And I don't think that Sacramento, if they do decide to blow it up completely in trading Cousins, is looking for guys that are 6-7 years in the league that will make them maybe a little bit better to be a 40-win team and compete for the number 8 seed. That's not what they're looking for. So I think Sam brings up a good point that it will be for Brooklyn picks and or young talent and salary filler. But I think there's got to be more to it than that. I just don't see them flipping an all-world type of player for unproven talent. And that's essentially what Jaylen Brown is, and that's exactly what those picks are.
I agree. And you know what, Patrick, you just hit on something that's interesting. And I went and looked up the rookie rankings right now as far as what NBA.com says. And you mentioned Embiid earlier, and we can get to him in a minute. But the best player that came out of the draft this year in the top three is Brandon Ingram. And they have him ranked fifth right now. Behind Jamal Murray, behind Malcolm Brogdon, behind Dario Saric, and Embiid, like I just said. So these are guys that, I mean, technically, they're not coming right out of the draft and having an impact. And that's just the way that the draft is going recently. So that concerns me a little bit, even though, again, the early reports are that it's going to be another deep draft in the NBA. Sam, I don't know if you know anything about that, but it just seems to be a lot more talk to me.
I agree. And see, like you said, unless we get lucky and we get the Ben Simmons, the guy who's going to make – I think he'll make an impact right away. But unless you get the right person, you're going to have to get lucky, not only just get a lottery pick, but to get the right lottery pick within that top three. I say you deal those picks and you get the sure thing, the star. Last thing, though, I just wanted to say when you guys were talking about those points about the bench – I haven't been watching a lot of Lakers or Clippers games, but the one thing that they've been talking about is that it's their bench that's causing those teams to be such a surprise early on. And obviously ours is the opposite. So we got to find something. And I'm putting that on Brad Stevens to figure that out. I mean, that's a rotation thing. There's talent there. It's just a matter of putting it together. And I bet Popovich could do it. So I want Stevens to do that too. So I'll let you guys go. Thanks a lot, guys. Go Celtics.
Appreciate the phone call, Sam. It is the Celtics post-game show. It is CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. Thank you to all that tuned in on ESPN New Hampshire Radio, ESPN NHRadio.com. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow night. Jared Scally will be hosting all by himself the Celtics pregame show coming at you at 6 o'clock tomorrow night ahead of the Celtics and Philadelphia 76ers. So for everybody at ESPN, thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys all tomorrow. Back to CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, the Celtics postgame show. Because on the internet, Matt, it's great. We're not sort of tied into the same rules that you have on terrestrial radio.
That's
so
right.
We can keep on going. You know, over there at ESPN, there's another program that needs to come on. They got to go. We could theoretically keep doing this for the entirety of the evening. Now, I'm not going to be
there. And the best part about that is let's just go right to him. The mouth of the South down there. We can now spice the podcast up and turn it over. Unleash the hounds, if you will. Mr. Nick Sesento is waiting for us, and I'd love to hear what he has to say.
It is not a coincidence, Matt Rory, that we waited to drop terrestrial radio so Nick could have his say, because we never know exactly what's going to come out of Nick Sesento's mouth. Nick, welcome to the program.
Well, geez, I don't know if I should be flattered or insulted by that I don't get on the ESPN radio, but I guess a longer segment, so you know, the good and the bad, you know, it's the bittersweet moment here.
What's happening, Nick? Sam snuck in there, man, right at the last second. He was listening the whole show, and we must have said something to trigger him, and he hit the button, so I said, that must be Sam, and we jumped him. I apologize. That's on me.
Well, you know, I actually took Nick Gelso's advice, and I had everything bullet pointed so that I could come in and make my Sesento segment just really short and sweet and quick. But you know, now that you're letting me loose, I think I'm gonna just, you know, go for gusto and just get it all off my chest.
Our show is your show, Nick. Just go for it, man.
So, first, I'd like to address this Cousins trade talk, and we've already seen what DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas can do together, and it doesn't equal wins. I think this idea that trading for Boogie Cousins is going to suddenly make the Celtics, you know, a championship contender is a little bit misguided, because it seems that people are operating under the assumption that we're going to be adding DeMarcus Cousins to this team as it's presently constituted. And I just don't think no matter what people on the internet say, oh, let's get rid of Amir Johnson and Tyler Zeller, James Young in the pick, and we'll get Boogie Cousins. That is not going to happen. We're going to have to give up somebody, whether it's Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, two of them, maybe, hopefully, I wouldn't think all three, but two of them, plus one of the picks, plus something else, you're going to have to give up at least one of those players. And I think most teams are looking at Jay Crowder because he's locked down for quite a while on a $7 million a year contract, a sweet contract, and he's a 15-point, you know, 5 or 6 rebound per game player that's a at least a second-team all-defensive caliber player. Even though he hasn't been named to that team yet, he's there. People like Avery Bradley, but Avery Bradley knows that he's going to be coming up on a new contract soon, and he's going to be wanting a whole lot of money, so he's less attractive to teams than Jay Crowder. So if you start subtracting some of these other players on a team that supposedly was supposed to have depth when we came into the season, but apparently doesn't have that much depth because you look at our bench and, you know, Jonas Jerebko was the beast of the bench. You know, we don't have that much depth. And if you start subtracting some of these key core players like Jay Crowder and possibly Avery Bradley and just throw in DeMarcus Cousins, you're basically getting the Sacramento Kings of the East all over again with DeMarcus Cousins and Isaiah Thomas as the centerpieces. And I don't know if that's going to work. It's not going to add DeMarcus Cousins to this team as presently constituted because you're going to have to give up some of that constitution to get DeMarcus Cousins. So I just don't see it. In my personal opinion, that's my thoughts on that. I'm gonna take a breath now. If anybody has something to throw in,
look, I sort of agree with you. I have a hard time making the comparison, the Isaiah Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins from 5 years ago, comparison to what it could be now. I think both players have improved drastically since the last time they played together in Sacramento. Let's not forget Isaiah Thomas was the number 60 pick in the draft by that Sacramento team. While he showed a lot of flashes and some ability, he's still a guy that just as recently as, what, two years ago when he was sent over to the Phoenix Suns, he was still a bench guy at that time, and Eric Bledsoe had his job. So, you know, he didn't establish himself as this dominant miniature version of Allen Iverson that he's become until he got to Boston. So I get what you're saying, and I think that it's a legitimate point and something that Celtics fans need to consider when they're willing to give up the world for a guy like DeMarcus Cousins. It may not all be, you know, sunshine and roses when he gets here. And I don't think it translates to a championship right away either. But I do think that the finished product that you would see out of those two as a 1-2 punch would be markedly better than the version of them we saw in Sacramento almost a half a dozen years ago.
I agree with that. I think that's an extremely valid point that they both improved as players. But I think the big question that still surrounds DeMarcus Cousins is the attitude. Is he going to be coachable by Brad Stevens, who doesn't have the same gravitas, despite the genius that he does possess as a coach, doesn't have the same gravitas? I personally think that this team, the approach that Danny Ainge seems to have been taking thus far, which is a, you know, an organic growth of the team and letting these players grow together in a style similar to what Golden State has done, where you bring the talent in, you let them grow, young talent, and let them grow together. I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins fits in with that. I'm a big advocate of what Matt Rury mentioned earlier, of maybe possibly making a trade for a player like Nerlens Noel that can help the rebounding, can help on the rim protection. And if you look at his stats, even though he has been injured, and his injury this season is not as bad as people like to make it seem, it was surgery to relieve swelling. It wasn't another torn tendon or ligament or anything like that. It was just to relieve swelling. He did miss the first season of his career, his rookie season, which based off the torn ACL that he suffered in Kentucky. But when he was playing, he played an average of 71 games the first two seasons that he actually played in the league, that he actually had playing time. And that's not a terrible average for players. And you can get him right now on the cheap based on the fact that, one, he is perceived as somewhat damaged goods. But number two, he stated repeatedly that he's not going to stay in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a stacked front court, and he's just there for the taking. My philosophy, and before I get into the criticism of who I'm about to criticize, and I think Matt Rury might know who I'm going to criticize, is that you could probably correct two problems at once by making a trade for someone like either maybe trading, like Mike Gorman suggested, the Brooklyn pick, because I just don't trust Danny Ainge. Even in a stacked draft, I just don't trust Danny Ainge to draft anything. I would rather him get a known commodity, or making a trade for someone like Marcus Smart, who is just not performing, and get someone like Nerlens Noel, who can fill in a lot of the needs that we have. And if you look at his stats, just coincidentally, if you look at Nerlens Noel's stats, he averages more steals per game than Marcus Smart does. And he can actually shoot the basketball. He doesn't shoot wild shots, but he can actually shoot the basketball from where he's supposed to shoot it.
Nick, I was thinking that you were going to rip into Amir Johnson here, so maybe that is still coming. But something you said has been, even after the last 2 minutes of you talking about Marcus Smart and just getting a guy like Nerlens Noel, something that you said about Brad Stevens is sticking with me for some reason, and I want to get Patrick's opinion on it, because I don't think I've heard his take on this. And to me, I've loved what Brad Stevens has brought to the table as a coach in his early career in the NBA. You said the word genius, and I think that I've used that word to describe him in the past as well. And I think that this is also ties into something we talked about at the beginning of the show. Brad Stevens takes a while to get his rotation and figure things out, and he tinkers around in the first couple months and he plays around. But I don't know if I'm just getting into the same old routine here and saying I don't know what he's doing, and I'm confused by some of his rotations and he needs to figure it out and I should just shut up and not worry about it, or if some of that shine has kind of left the Brad Stevens train over there and he needs to get polished up a little bit more. Patrick, how do you feel about this? Do you even look at Brad Stevens as a genius type of basketball coach, or do you just think that he's had a good early career and he still has a lot to prove?
Well, I don't consider him a genius yet. He's been in a league for such a short period of time. It's hard to really consider him a genius, but I will say this. A guy that's often considered a genius, but a guy that's more or less a 500 coach for the entirety of his career is Larry Brown. And thus far, that's what I liken Brad Stevens to, a guy that has always historically gotten the most out of average teams. And that is exactly what Brad Stevens has done. Look, he came into the league with no expectations. He coached a horrible Celtics team that won 26 games, but the fans fell in love with that team because of the way they played. He took that same team the following year, added Isaiah Thomas halfway through the year, gets to 40 wins, and we all know what they did last year with 48, and it should have been more if Crowder did not get hurt. But again, this is the first time that he's come into a season with legitimate and real national expectations, as highlighted by the way we started this show, Matt. The Celtics are playing on Christmas Day. The Celtics do have close to 30 nationally televised games this year. And thus far, they've been embarrassed on national TV more than once. Thus far, this team has continued to lose to teams that, even with Al Horford and Jay Crowder, Kelly Olynyk and Marcus Smart out, they've got no business losing to some of the teams they lose to, which makes me question his ability to get his team up and ready for these games. There are some question marks there. He is not a genius yet. I would like to revisit this conversation in April and see if he's able to do what he's done in years past, and that's get this thing right sometime in late December, early January, and see this team go on a run. And if they do that, maybe I will start to reconsider my position. Right now, I think he's a well above average coach, a guy that certainly filled the void. Everybody was panicked when Doc Rivers was traded out of here. He's arguably been a better coach than Doc would have been for the Celtics in the last 3 years, and Doc is potentially a Hall of Fame type of coach. So there's good and bad with Brad, but I think that the sample size is far too small to make a judgment like genius, but it's also too small to make a judgment like, you know what, he's a flash in the pan type of guy. I'm just not sure where he's at yet.
All right, fair enough. And I mean, I think that I'm just overthinking it a little bit, and I need to just sit back and let him do his thing for the next couple of weeks and see where they stand on Christmas morning when I'm looking at the tree, you know?
But you know, Matt, the reason why you're overthinking it is the same reason why I spent 3 hours on a plane today and looking at the Celtics schedule, trying to overanalyze, you know, what's gone wrong this year. I think we all came into this season, and it's because of what ESPN said and because of Sports Illustrated picking them to win, you know, 59 games, and Bill Simmons saying they're a dark horse to go to the NBA Finals. We all heard that late September through October 26th on opening night. and it got programmed into our brains that this team was naturally going to take that next leap and do it right away. And I think that we all got caught up in some of that hype because it felt good again. It felt good to be nationally recognized a la the Big 3 days and to get back there so quickly. And I think that the reason why we're all here doing this show is because we are fans first. We don't make money for doing this. We don't do it because we've got these dreams of taking over for Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and bringing SportsCenter back to its glory days. We do it because we love the NBA, and we do it because we grew up NBA fans, Celtics fans. And I think that it felt really good from a fan perspective to have your team nationally recognized again. And the fact is this. They're 3 games over 500 as we enter the early days of December. Right now, they're fourth in the conference. They're 2.5 behind Cleveland for first place in the conference. So despite all the negativity that we've brought the last 80 minutes, despite all the ups and downs of the first 30 days of the season, this team is right there.
They are. They're right a little bit lower than I think a lot of people expected, but that, you're nitpicking at that point. You're 19 games in. It's too early to say. And you look at the upcoming schedule that we discussed a little bit earlier, those games that we said were difficult games, some of them are difficult, but they're still a coin flip. And the Celtics still have a very good chance to win every game in December. I would say that they should be competitive in every single game in December. And that's what I would expect from the Celtics. If they lose all of those games, I wouldn't be surprised, but I would expect them to be 100% competitive in all of them. And I think that's all you can ask. And most of them, it looked like they will be games that the Celtics will have a chance at the end. And at that point, and that's what you expect from them.
I think that this team, Matt, before we get out of here, needs, you know, last year you look back to the Cleveland game where Avery Bradley hit the game-winning three, and they had no business winning that game. That's the definition of a stolen game. I think they need to either win a game like that against a contending team or reel off 7 out of 9, 8 out of 10 to get their swag back, get their groove back. You know, last year's team really finished the season with that groove, with that swag. And this team hasn't had it yet. They've had it for moments. They've had it for quarters, but they've been unable to sustain it for a long period of time. They haven't been able to sustain it for a 48-minute game, let alone a 10 or 12-game stretch. And I think something will happen in the coming weeks to get that swag back. And once they play with that chip on their shoulder, I think we'll see this team elevated to that next level.
I'm with you. Let's see more of what they did in the first 7 to 8 minutes of the game tonight. Let's see that consistently.
Absolutely. The Tonight Show is brought to you guys by Movement Watches. MVMTWatches.com/CelticsBeat gets you guys 15% off your first order with free shipping. We all know Christmas is coming, so it's a great time to capitalize on the 15% off and free shipping from MovementWatches.com/CelticsBeat. The show is also brought to you by Audible. Head on over to audiblepodcast.com/trynow for your free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music was provided by Joshua Morse, and we want to thank all of today's callers and everybody who tuned into the program this evening. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, for our Program Director Justin Poulin, and the founder of our network, Nick Gelso, for my co-hosts this evening, Matt Rory and Jared Scally, I am Patrick Gilroy. Jared and company will see everybody back here tomorrow night when the Celtics take on the mighty Philadelphia 76ers. Until then,
can't wait.
Thanks for listening.